Now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hopalong John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hopalong John Cassidy.
Well, thank you, Mark Larson, and Southern California, welcome again to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio. I am indeed your underfished host, Hopalong John Cassidy, and Wendy Toshihara and I, we are pleased that you're taking a little time out from your Sunday evening to be with us. I think we got a great show lined up for you tonight. We got a lot of information, maybe a lot of stories, a little fun, all of it combined in one package. So we invite you to sit back and relax and then just enjoy the next 2 hours. Hey, this is what's on dock for you tonight. We're going to start off with Pat McDonald. Pat McDonald is former editor of Western Outdoor News. He's still an outdoor writer. He's director of the Cabo Tuna Jackpot at Western Outdoor News. We're going to talk to Pat about some of the places he's fished in the past couple of months, and also talk to him about the upcoming Cabo Tuna Jackpot. You're not going to want to miss that. And then later on, we're going to be talking with Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance. I'm going to be heading down to San Quintin next week and thought, you know, I better get some auto insurance. But I wasn't sure about what I needed, the vehicle that I had. A lot of questions about auto insurance, taking a vehicle and or a boat down to not only Baja, California, but the mainland. So we've got Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance with us to answer all our questions with that regard. And then later on, Rick Murren from H&M Landing. He's going to be with us. We're going to talk about this continuing fantastic bite of 2009. Skipjack have shown up. The yellowfin tuna are here. There's still some bluefin. And now there seem to be a lot more Dorado in the mix. We're going to get an up-to-date report on what's happening out there from Rick Murren. So stay tuned. That'll be in the second half of the show. But before we get everything started, Stan Vanderberg is down in Cabo San Lucas tonight. So, Stan, we hope you're having a good time. You might even be listening to the show with our good friend Sissy Plowmans from Bajo de Luna and La Golondrina Restaurants. If you guys are, I know you're having a great time. But with me tonight is my other co-host. She is the National Sales Manager for Iserline. She represents many other frying products in the fishing industry. She's also an expert hunter and fisherman. Let me introduce you to Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, howdy.
Hello, hello there. Well, I haven't been outdoors to do much. I've been taking care of my 12-year-old German Shorthair Pointer who decided to cut himself on a fence. So I'm stuck at home for a little while until he's all taken care of.
All right. Well, you know what? You got to care to that thing. And we know how important dogs are in our life. And Wendy, you know that because you've had dogs for a long time. I've had a couple of sets of dogs in my life that, you know, were with me for 15 years, each set of them, and they become good friends of ours. And we're gonna talk to a good friend right now that unfortunately lost a good friend in his life. He is the director for the Cabo Tuna Jackpot, also a writer, former editor of Western Outdoor News, Mr. Pat McDonald. Pat, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, you guys. Really appreciate the opportunity. Looking forward to the tournament season coming up.
You know, I know you are, and I just want to say, you know, Wendy was just talking about the trouble she was having with her dog, and we just want to give our condolences that we know that you lost a good friend in your life, too, that was a pet.
Yeah, Rue. Yeah, 17 years as a dog, and she was just a fabulous family companion. Yeah, she was fantastic. Time to go, though, and we miss her terribly. It's been a couple of days now, so it's been a rough couple of days, but fortunately, time goes on, and I've got three grandkids and a lot of other things going on in my life to distract me, but I'm always going to remember her as being a fabulous companion to our family and everything. So it's a little bit sad, but like I say, life goes on, and we'll be looking for another dog here pretty quick.
You think you're going to do that? You know, because I know with my wife and I, we're sort of like semi-retired and stuff like that and want to get out and away. And a dog is like having another child. But you think you're going to take on the responsibility of another dog?
I don't know. We waited 2 years after the last one. We had to put the last one down, a Cocker Spaniel. That was 20 years ago. And then we took 2 years to go and find Rue at the Helen Woodward facility down in Del Mar. We weren't even looking for a dog, but we just fell in love with Rue. And boy, I tell you, just, she was called a red tick hound dog. I don't know if many people really know what those are, but they're like a cattle dog. And she was just a real loving companion. And I know, Wendy, she's dealing with trying to get her dog back and back healthy. And I think what's funny is this, John, is that a friend of mine told me, he says, the first couple dogs, it was kind of like, when they passed away, it was okay. Well, okay, this is what happens. But as you get older, I think you get more and more attached.
Absolutely.
To pets. I think, and I was like, it really is true. It really hit me just so, so hard. And I think anybody out there is listening to this, who has passed their 40s, 50s, 60s, and then they have these dogs and are pets and cats or whatever, it's really a lot tougher the older you get. So, I think we're going to give it a year or so, and then we'll look for another pet. We just haven't quite decided what breed. Maybe it's just going to be one that walks in the door, and there it is. But right now I got my hands full, and I'm really not going to look for any kind of a pet right now. I've got so much going on and having a great time out there. No longer editor of Western Outdoor News, but I'm still so crazy busy, I don't even know how I ever managed to be an editor for all these years.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. And just the last thing about pets, I think the reason why we're into pets like that is that they are givers of unconditional love. And if you're the type
you
of person
right.
you
that's
should be,
true.
To receive that is pretty much a gift.
It is. It is really wonderful. Part of the great things in life. So,
I just want to get on with you. For a lot of people that aren't familiar with you or been just getting out of a cave, having been hibernating for the past 30 or 40 years, you're not some Johnny come lately. You want to tell us a little bit about how you progressed through writings and your newspaper opportunities and everything like that to get to where you are now?
Well, it's funny. I started off as a journalism major down in up in Santa Monica. Worked for the Santa Monica Evening Outlook, a daily newspaper, and cut my teeth on writing sports and fishing and features. And then I went to San Diego State. I already had a full time job at the Daily, but I decided to go to college in San Diego State and ended up getting a degree and then working for a local paper down in San Diego and went. Worked for a daily newspaper and realized that the hours are not great for a family guy. And so when the job opportunity came up for Western Outdoor News in mid-80s, I think I was like 28 years old. I'm 65 now. And I took it. I was like, my gosh, I get to travel. I get to write. I get to go fish and hunt. And it was a dream come true job. So, and the paper evolved as well as I did. And the internet came. And, it's funny. I've gone through just about every type of printing process. At Santa Monica College, we had an old lead type printing, and then we had cold type, and then we have now digital, and now the world has changed. So I kind of my career kind of spanned all of that, and it was not easy putting out a daily newspaper, or much less a weekly Western Outdoor News with all of that had to be covered each week. And I wouldn't say it's gotten easier. But with digital, with computers and digital photography and the internet, it has made it the information highway is much faster right now. So, but you still got to get out there with a pencil and a paper and cover things, and that's the best way to do journalism is to sit down and talk to people face to face and ask them how they caught it, what they caught it on, and that's where you get the best stories about people and fishing and techniques and hunting and everything else. And that's really what it's all about, is going out there and enjoying this.
Western Outdoor News, did you have any outdoor experience? Were you an outdoorsman yourself, or when I'm going to presume that you were hired by Bert Twilliger, that he brought you aboard, and how did that get about, that he told you what your job description was going to be?
Well, I actually applied for the editor's job, and then the assistant editor's job was open because another guy decided to go out to be the editor, and I go, I'm coming from a daily newspaper to a weekly, and I said, well, I said, I'm really not interested. And about a week later, I was sitting at a volleyball match or something, or a college thing, and my wife goes, you've been looking, I want to see you more often. So anyhow, but I said, okay. So I called Bert back up, and I said, okay, I'll take the assistant editor's job. And then 6 months later, I was named editor. Now, you asked me about my experience. Well, my dad and I, we would fish on the boats out of Santa Monica. I fished on the pier, fished off the jetties, fished up in the Eastern Sierra, so yeah, I grew up around fishing, you know, but I also played beach volleyball, surfed, and I had a lot of other interests. So the job came up, and also we did some hunting with my brother, and so it was like a natural progression to get out there and do this and try that job. And it was an opportunity to travel all over the world, and I had a wonderful time in 34 years.
Wow. You know, Bert, I know you worked with Bert, and then after that, Bob, and they, you know, Western Outdoor News has been immensely successful. But in this day now of social media and internet and instant communication, how has that publication changed, or when you were still with it? Could you see the change? Is there writing on the wall, or has Western Outdoor News been innovative enough to change with the times?
Well, it's interesting. It is a weekly paper, but we do the publication still does events. We're doing the Cabo tournament coming up here. It's the biggest tuna tournament in the world. This weekend is the Big Bear Trout Fest. There's 400 people up there. We drew those people through the publication. Somebody's got to be reading that publication. Now, I know the site circulation is not as high as it was, and advertising is tougher to get because all the social media seems to be very inexpensive and easy, and you don't have to have a lot of brains actually to plan on where to place ads. It's simple, you know. But I'll tell you, you know, when you have 30,000-40,000 people each week who buy a publication and it comes to your home in the mailbox, you don't go down and it doesn't just come in the driveway or it's free. It's not a controlled circulation. It is paid. You pay $40 a year for this thing. Those are devoted readers. I think people forget. And of course, I remember Brandon Hayward was funny. He was like, when he got the job, he was with me for 7 years. I hired him. Now he's having a very successful career as a magazine publisher, but also a great fisherman with his charter business. And he said, you know, Pat, he says, we own the 40, 45 and 50 and to dead market. Because every time I go on a trip with one of our charters, these guys are all really old. And I go, who has money and time? Older fishermen. And they want to take their kids. And these guys are devoted people. And they will continue to take paper. They'll continue to buy. They have discretionary income. They buy rods. They buy reels. A 25-year-old guy, yeah, hardcore, black, wears all black, white, wears his hat backwards. He doesn't have hardly any money to spend, really. He doesn't have a lot of discretionary income like you and me. So, and doesn't have the time. He's got to work. He's got kids. So we have a real strong readership, very, very loyal, active readership. And I think a lot of people forget that when they see social media. They think, oh, well, they can get information immediately, and I get so much gratification when I get on my Facebook page and I post something and all my buddies say it's great. But the fact is that you get something each week, comes to your mailbox, you're reading it, and it's not what's going to happen, it's what happened. And then there's ads in there. There's 400 or so waters from Baja all the way to the Chetco River in Oregon and out to Lake Havasu, and we're covering saltwater, freshwater, hunting, all the seasons, and we still do it as well as we ever did. So social media, definitely very important. The internet has definitely carved its niche, and it's going to be very powerful. And I think eventually the publication will probably end up being digital. I don't know. I'm not in control of that. But the world is changing, and if you don't adapt to it, if you don't innovate, you will evaporate. And that's kind of always been the. But still, the publication is still strong. It's not as strong as it was, but it is still very, very strong in the industry.
I think that same demographic that you mentioned, they like to have that hard copy in their hands, whether it's looking at the ads that have come in from Turner's Outdoors or Save on Tackle or the schedule for one of the boats at H&M Landing. They've got it there. They probably put it on up, and then they go by it. So, you know, having something in print has its advantages for sure.
Absolutely. So, you know, there's, you know, and then, of course, we are a event also based. I don't actually work for Western Outdoor News anymore officially. I'm kind of a freelancer. So, but, you know, they do a lot of events, and they do, like, the U.S. Open, the biggest West Coast bass tournament on the West Coast, by far. They are sold out 3 months before the event. Big Bear was 200 or so about a couple of years ago. There are 400 people up there. The Lake Havasu Striper Derby, the Clear Lake Open. I could name them. I could start naming them off. And then there's the Yamaha event at Catalina, which is now back and growing. And the Cabo Tuna Tournament, we had 163 teams who gave away almost $1 million last year, and it's the biggest tuna tournament in the world. So if you don't adapt and bring in revenue and create opportunities for advertisers to sponsor, you are going to die. There's no question about it.
All right. Hey, we're speaking with Pat McDonald, as you can see, former editor of Western Outdoor News. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the places Pat has gone the past couple of weeks, talk about that, and then talk about the upcoming Cabo Tuna jackpot that he also mentioned. So, Pat, can you stay with us for a little bit longer and explore some of those adventures with us?
Love to.
Hey, yeah. Hey, Wendy Toshar-Har and I, we're going to take a break right now, but we'll be back after these messages.
I can't wait to spend some quality time with my son fishing this year, teaching him about casting, how to choose bait, set the hook, and how to be safe on the water by always wearing a life jacket. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. Our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. See you there.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a bit set back with just what company to go with? Rod and Reel Radio urges you to try American and family-owned Land's End Charters. Land's End Charters offer their clients affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with their brand-name fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality you would expect from a 50-year-old family-run business. Go to Land's End Charters.com to see all the current vessels and amenities available and call Cabo Greg or Jenny directly at 800-281-5778 when you're ready to get fishing. This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockleys Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockleys at your local fishing tackle dealer.
Hey, Wendy Toshihara and I, we welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. This first hour's guest is Mr. Pat McDonald. He is a writer and director of the Cabo Tuna Jackpot at Western Outdoor News. And before we get talking about the Cabo Tuna Jackpot, you know, Pat, I was following you at the end of August, the beginning of September, because I went down to Alaska, had a great time down there, fished, had great weather. I saw you were down there, too. How was your experience down there this year?
Did we go down or did we go up? I'm not sure what. I know,
right.
I went up. Where are you? I mean, no. I went up to Sitka and fished with Kingfisher. I've done that almost 15, 16 times. Seth Bone and I are good friends, and I've hosted that trip for Western Outdoor News about at least 12 to 13, 14 times. So it's an incredible experience. So I had a great time. We had limits. We had near limits of silvers, and a lot of times we went out and we went after the black cod because guys really wanted to fill the boxes, and they are really taking that fishery on as a way to supplement some of the fishing that they aren't getting with some of the halibut because of the restrictions. So they have expanded their ability to go out and get the black cod in with electric reels. And then, of course, I love the silver salmon fishing. We went up there and we went fly fishing with Sitka fish. Jamie and my brother-in-law and his son came up, and we had a wonderful time up at the lodge. Every year we always try to do something different. So great trip. We had 12 people on the trip, and it was a full house again. So, wonderful, great weather. I mean, we had the previous year, we had horrible weather. It was,
oh, yeah.
And this year it was perfect. So couldn't have asked for a better trip.
You know, we did pretty much the same thing. I was fishing down at Craig, Alaska, at a Sure Strike Lodge, which is a lot further south of where you are. And, you know, first of all, when you come there as a non-resident, you get your license. We got a four-day license, and I think, man, it's what, $120 for a four-day license? They kind of get you there, but then there's all kinds of different limit restrictions if you're fishing with a guide, if you're fishing with a resident, if you're fishing by yourself and stuff like that. But I've got to tell you, with all those these restrictions, we came back with limits of silver salmon. The king salmon season was opened up where we could take one per our trip, and so we picked up one each. You know, the halibut, there's that slot limit down there, but still, if you catch a limit that's in the lower end of the slot limit, you still have a 25, 26-pound halibut, which is a nice fish. Ling cod, they've really limited that. We were there for the opening of rock fishing season, and I don't know what that's all about because there's rockfish all over the place. But
funny about those trips. Every year I go up and I host a trip, and I usually go up with a friend, Chris Wheaton. And we had, every year we try to do something. We climbed Mount Edgecombe. After I had hit my second hip surgery, I decided I want to go climb the damn mountain. I've been looking at it for the last 20 years. So I'm going to go. We chartered a boat. They dropped us off, and in eight hours we went up and looked down into the crater. It was big enough to hold, you know, the new Ram Stadium. It's huge. And then we hiked back down, and, you know, we carried a gun and pepper spray and all that. So every year we do a float plane trip in addition to it, and we do a lot of hikes. This year, though, John and Wendy, I had the most amazing experience. I went up there and we saw the Northern Lights. We got in the car and we drove up this 4.5, 5 mile dirt road, hiked up to the top of a hill using our phones as flashlights, and we sat there and the Northern Lights came out. It was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
Alaska is a lot more than just fishing. It is, you go up there, you want to fish for 3 days and just come home with a wax box of fish, it's a great spot. But if you want to go up there and do some different things, Sitka is absolutely fantastic. I just think it's a great experience. I've been going up there so many years, and it's still always something new to do up there.
Yeah, one of the best experiences we have, we were about 60 miles offshore. We were in flat, calm weather, which is something we have never experienced during the middle of the day and all the years we've been going up there. And then all of a sudden, the ocean just starts erupting with herring that are dimpling the surface for as far as you can see. No birds, no nothing. All these herring jumping all over the place. And then slowly but surely, all these whales start coming on up and working. Oh. These herring porpoises come on up. Killer whales are there. And these herring are just as far as you can see breaking the surface. And then they go back down again. It's amazing, the wildlife up there.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. You mentioned that. That's something that we did 2 years ago with Seth Bone and Chris and myself and Seth's girlfriend. We took his boat out into one of the little back bays of Sitka Sound. And he said, there's a lot of whales in here. There's a lot of bait. So we were catching fish and, catching fish. And then also we saw some whale activity. We went out, and they did. That's what they were doing. The herring were going off, and they were coming up. And what's amazing, although we didn't see this, Seth says some boats go in there and they're actually looking for this activity. But very dangerous, because these whales are intent on feeding. And they'll come up, and then they'll come up in unison for the herring and to eat them and feed. And if your boat is in the middle of that, they can land on you. And yeah. A lot of these, I don't know why somebody would want to get near the damn whales when they're trying to eat, but these are massive creatures. And one came up about 50 yards from us, and I was thinking, I would not want to go and get in that herring area where they're feeding collectively. But it's an incredible experience. People think the experience down at Scammon's Lagoon in Baja is exciting. I've done that. This is incredible. So that's another activity that we did with Seth and Chris. We had a great time up there.
Hey, let's switch over to another trip, because you had a chance to also visit with one of our good friends down there, Jose Angel at Cedrus Outdoor Adventures. And this was just a few weeks ago, and it looked like you managed to squeak out a pretty good time there, too.
Yeah, well, Yellowtail was wide open. We had, what's funny is that, they get mackerel, you go after mackerel, and you're going after, big calico bass. It's just a great lodge. It's a great experience, a great lodge. Anybody who's not done it, they've got to do it. That's all I can tell you. I've been all over the world fishing. I love that. I think that's one of my favorite places. And it's really yellowtail and calico fishing, but that's what I love to do. There's Dorado later in the season, and then there's Wahoo also if you're heading over to Benitos in between the islands. If the weather's good, you can troll the Paulas and Marauders, and there's Wahoo later in the season. I'm not sure if that's happening right now. I don't think so. But last year, there was a lot of Wahoo caught. But it's primarily calicos, big calicos, and a lot of calicos, and yellowtail. And if you love to throw the iron, grind the iron, which I love to do, and I'll do it all day long, it's about the best thing in the world. I love it, man. There's some big fish, up to 53 pounds this year.
Oh, man.
It's pretty wild.
Building that mainly himself and having to bring the materials over from the mainland, quite a feat of engineering, but pretty impressive.
Yeah. Did he ever tell you the story about how many trips he had to make?
Good time to tell it.
Oh, well, I think he didn't give me all the details, John, but he was driving along these roads to get the stuff over to the barge, and he would have to bring it across, and you can't bring too much. but he kept stockpiling it, and because it's about a 20-mile, you know, boat ride. And right. He got it all together, and in 3.5 months, he built the lodge. If people have not seen the lodge, go to cedrosoutdooradventures.com and check this lodge out. And each year, he improves it and expands it. But in 3.5 months, he built that thing, and it is solid. And just a beautiful facility there. And he's expanded it with cabins up on the hill. I stayed in one of those. And because he's expanding, he has the new plane, the Chieftain, the Navajo Chieftain, the two prop thing. And then you can also go down the normal way, which is you get in a van, go to Ensenada, and fly in. So half our group did that. The other half came in on the Chieftain, the 8-seater. So the whole thing is expanded. There's like 4 operations on the island. They're all good, but I think. From my standpoint, what I've seen, I fished it, I think, 12, 14 years, I think, before Jose, when they just first started, that place is to me, the best on the island, and he is very careful about, you know, conservation and everything. But the other operations are great, too, you know.
Yeah. What do you think about, you know, since they've declared that a biosphere area, you've been going there for so long, have you noticed an improvement in the fishing? What are your thoughts about that?
Well, the fishing was always good. The first time I went there, it was just epic. I mean, it was just like squid on the surface everywhere, and our birds were crashing and were throwing it. It reminded me of places over in the Sea of Cortez that, you know, Kit McNair and I had seen not Sir Alvo, but Catalan Island off Loretta. It was the most epic fishing I've ever had. And then I had that same experience at the island on Cedros the first year, and it was like so many yellowtail. It was a horde. Well, this year the same thing happened. One afternoon we went out there, and it was not that great, and all of a sudden we just kept chucking the iron, you know, and kept chucking the iron, and we were following the birds, and pretty soon it was every frigging cast.
Yeah.
Was they would hit it or miss it, or you get stuck, and it was hordes of yellowtail, and those were quality. They were like 15, 18, 20 pound yellowtail. So, yeah, this year I had another, after 15 years, about 12, 13 years ago, I came for the first time and had that kind of thing. And this year I had the same kind of experience there as well. So is it improving? I would say yes. There's, when you take away the seiners, and they're taking away all the, and they were taking away basically seining the bait, not so much the fish. But yeah, of course the fishing is always going to be better when you don't seine and cut the legs off the fishery, which is the legs of the fishery are the bait. All those nets up and down the coast. That's why you don't hear too much about Ensenada too much anymore, is because they're taking enormous amounts of bait to feed the bluefin. Mm-hmm. It's not the bluefin that's the problem. It's the friggin' amount of bait that they eat. So you really can't. They're taking every single bit of bait down there. And these biospheres, frankly, I think they're the best idea in the world. And I think some of the sport fishing guys would be pissed off to hear me say that, but I don't care. So they got caught up in it. But I think you got to protect the fisheries. And the only way to protect the fisheries, particularly the Bonitos and Cedros, was to make it a biosphere. So that's my opinion.
Well, not only was it the commercial guys going after the finfish, but I remember we'd see shrimp trawlers going through there, and they are basically scraping the bottom, and the bycatch or whatever it is, they're just pulling up everything they can. Now those are not allowed around there, and I think you're going to see fishing getting better and better. Whether it'll be back to the first days that you remember, I don't know, but I think it'll be something we'll be able to hand out for generations to come.
Well, I'll tell you this. Well, I tell you, I had a ball down there. I was using anything on the bottom and over the reefs. There's a couple big, they know a ton of places, you know, but we couldn't get up to the far north part of the island, which is where the fishing is really good for calico bass and yellowtail.
Yeah.
Although a couple people in our group did, they just kept bumping their way north because they had fished this island so many years. They knew that if they didn't get up to Geronimo, or not Geronimo, it's called the name of that.
The north end of the island,
Augustine. You get up to Augustine, you're getting calico, you're getting protected areas, but the weather's got to be good. And they pushed hard to get there, and they came back with just epic stories of like 80, 90 calico bass, you know, 8 or 9 yellowtail in the 20-pound class. They caught sheephead to like 14 pounds, and another one was a 12-pounder. It was just epic fishing. So, and we stayed back, and we still got incredible fishing, and of course that one afternoon where it was amazing. So what I love about that island is that it's Baja, you're fishing Baja, but it's not so damn hot as the mainland Baja. It's protected. You're fishing a lot of the times in the lee side. And of course the operation's great. You know, you're going to catch fish no matter what. I mean, I think you can't not catch fish if you just throw iron or use live bait or dropper loop or whatever. You're going to catch fish. The captains are so good now, that, you know, if you have, you know, halfway what you're doing, you're going to have a great trip. But the operation is so amazing. It's just turnkey, you know, that Jose has created this facility in the middle of nowhere that did not exist. It's like the ultimate small businessman's dream, you know, of starting something and building it. And I think he needs to be lauded for his, Melanie needs to be lauded for their stick-to-itiveness and their ability to also to protect the environment. They're trying to do as much as they can to protect the island by bringing in tourism, and that is fishermen. And so that, as opposed to commercial fishing and mining. So anyhow, right. Great spot. I highly recommend it. Cedros Outdoor Adventures.
And in closing, I think in comparison to going to other places in the world, very, very reasonable for the fishing, the amenities, and all the personal service you get from them over there. It's a great place to go. Hey, Pat, we're going to have to take a break right now. We need to talk about the upcoming Cabo Tuna Jackpot. Can you stay with us just for one more click and we can do that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. No problem. Love to.
Okay. Wendy and I are going to take a break right now. You're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540, or you can listen live on rodandreelradio.com. You can listen to the archive page anytime or go to any of the podcasts that are out there, and you'll find Rod and Reel Radio there. So we'll take a break right now. We'll come back with Pat McDonald after these messages.
There's nothing more peaceful than fishing. Just me, my pole, and some bait. Oh, and my life jacket, of course. I like fish, but I don't want to end up at the bottom of the water with them. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
We want to tell our listeners a little about Bajo La Luna restaurant, located within a lush hidden garden in the heart of Cabo San Lucas. This family-run restaurant offers patrons a selection of unbelievable tapas, the most delicious Mexican entrees, an outstanding selection of wines, and crafted cocktails, and the most amazing desserts, all served in an upscale, casual, outdoors atmosphere at prices you'll find very affordable. When you visit Bajo La Luna, mention Rod and Reel Radio, and there might just be a complimentary beverage served with your dining experience. Bajo La Luna is located right across the street from Cabo Wabo and offers free or valet parking. Get all the information you'll need to visit Bajo La Luna Restaurant on Facebook. Just click their direct link icon found on rodandreelradio.com.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Wendy Toshihara and I, we want to welcome you back to Ron Real Radio. We're with Pat McDonald, writer, former editor of Western Outdoor News, and now the director of the Cabo Tuna Jackpot that's brought to you by Western Outdoor News. And Pat, you know, a lot of people, they see this tournament coming on up, and it seems like it's just something that sprouted up just out of nowhere. But this is an event that has a pretty long tradition. Tell us about it.
Well, it started back in 1999. Kit and I were doing some yellowtail tournaments out of La Paz, and one of the reasons why we never did a Cabo tournament, even though we'd fished there extensively over the years, was the title sponsor, an airline, forbade it from us to go to Cabo and put a tournament on. And when they went out of business, that restriction was lifted, and the first thing I did, I turned over to Kit and I said, "We got to do a tournament in Cabo. A money tournament, a jackpot tournament, a tuna tournament." So we kind of bandied around the idea of about a marlin tournament or a wahoo tournament, and I said, "No, tuna." And it's funny because a lot of the people in Cabo are like, "Why do a tuna tournament? This tuna aren't a big deal here. They're like something to do when you don't go, bill fishing." And yeah. I said, "No, I know tuna fishing here, and I know a lot of guys catch huge fish." And a couple of buddies of mine went down and fished, and they were big tuna. And so he said the prime time to put it on is November, end of October, November, right after the Bisbees. And so that's when we did it. The first year we had in 1999, we did 112 teams, and it was a $400 or $500 entry. And then we had four or five optionals, and we gave away rods and reels for the biggest wahoo and dorado. I think our total amount of money we gave away was something around, $125,000, which was pretty good. That was amazing. 112 teams. People were like shocked in Cabo that we were able to bring this down. But like I said, Western Outdoor News has a lot of power. And we said, don't have the marlin guys have all the fun. We're tuna fishermen. Let's go down and have a tuna jackpot where the entry is fairly inexpensive that we can all afford. And then you can put optionals in. And you're only competing against the people in those optionals. Those are daily optionals. I don't know if people understand that, of what it is, but basically it's different hats. Everybody puts their money in, of $500 for the tuna, or $1,000, or $2,000, or $5,000, or $10,000, and you're only competing against the people who are in those hats. I only have to, like, John, if you or I were in a jackpot, and you were a jackpot guy in a $1,000 jackpot, and I put $1,000 in, I only have to beat you. Okay, so so
I'm handing over the money now.
Right. Well, you might even here's the funny thing: the tournament was won by a couple guys from Santa Barbara who were fishing with a local Pongero down there out of Gordo Banks, and they won the tournament. And we're like, "Hey, no, we're having a fishing tournament. They're coming up in a Ponga." You know, they're like, "No, we got the tuna. We're in the tournament." And it was a 218-pound fish, so won the tournament. And it's funny, the San Diego Union did about a 7-page story on how that $50,000 they won, because they were not in a lot of optionals, changed their lives as fishermen, you know, in this little tiny village down there, which over in San Jose del Cabo. So, yeah, Mark Ziegler did an incredible story on it. But that's not
To this event as a party disguised as a fishing tournament, but there is a lot of good that this tournament has done, not only for the people there down in the Cabo area, but also for charities. And one of the charities is Smiles International Foundation. Tell us about some of the work you guys do there.
Well, you know, ever since we started the tournament, I wanted to do charity. Charity had to be part of it for me. As a director, Kip McNear was actually the beginning director, because I was the editor, so I kind of was like co-director and everything. And I said, look, I want to do something, an auction. You know, I had David Worth bring a carved tuna, you know, and that made $5,000, and we gave that to an orphanage down there. And so over the years, we've had various charities. And so about 4 or 5 years ago or so, I was looking for a charity. Another one didn't pan out. And Grace down at Dreammakers, she's part of her church that she goes to. They knew about these clinics that Smiles is a foundation. It's called SmilesInternationalFoundation.org. Read about it a little bit if you're interested. And it does two clinics in Cabo San Lucas. They do other clinics elsewhere in Mexico, but primary ones that I'm interested in is in Cabo, and they're one is right during the Bisbees, and they invite. They have a circle of influence where people hear about their cleft palate. Their children have cleft palates, and so in the United States, a child is born with a cleft palate, and immediately it's operated on. They put tape on the lip. And then six to seven months later, they'll come in and they'll do the surgery, and then they'll do subsequent surgeries because there's other issues, usually with cleft palate. You don't see that many kids with cleft palate, with little elephant lips and everything else. But for a poor Mexican in the village, it's a horrible thing. That child will never, unless he has an operation, that child has no future whatsoever. Can't even hardly eat. So these clinics are free. They put the kids up. They put the families up. They have the surgeries, and they've expanded it even this year. So every year, every penny and we raised like $28,000 last year. Like Minerva buys clothing, sells them there, and donates every penny to it. We do the charter. It's a $30. $30 to go at the start boat. The boat is donated. We have mimosas. We watch the boats go out. We check off the boats, and every dollar of that $30 we charge almost 300 people goes to Smiles. And we do a silent auction at the awards. It doesn't dominate the event. It just adds to it, and we're able to buy them surgical instruments, the doctors, the nurses, everything. Every penny, nothing goes to the doctors. The doctors and nurses all fly down on their own to the United States, join other medical personnel in Cabo San Lucas, and then they do these one-week clinics, and the kids, they do like 30 surgeries over the course, and the hospital donates its surgical area, the operating room. And I scrubbed in one time, and I'll tell you, I spent 2 days at the clinics, and I was just absolutely fell in love with the program and the people who ran it. And I said, as long as I'm director of the tournament, this will be the charity we do, because it means so much to these kids. It turns their lives around, the families that it affects. I mean, why else are we on here on Earth if one of the reasons is to care for each other and help each other? So that's a big part of the tournament. I mean, we gave away $840,000 to 5-6 teams last year. It's 163 teams. It's not just a party; it's a competition. But you see the people and how much they love the event. They love to come down. It's affordable. You can spend up to $23,000 to enter the tournament and get into all the optionals. But a lot of people get in at very, very low amounts and have a great time over 4 days in Cabo. And so that's kind of the appeal. And we try to make everybody feel comfortable. That's the main thing. And we want people to know that part of the event is having fun and charity as well.
Pat, even though we're, you know, almost a month away from the beginning of the event, I was talking with Cabo Greg at Land's End Charters, and he says to say hello to you. We were talking about the availability of vessels, and it's getting awful tight if you don't have vessels set up for it. But tell us, when is this event? And in the remaining time we have left, how's the best way to contact you to enter it?
Well, okay, the website will answer all your questions. I set it up. It's not some crazy website that sucks you in and clickbait. It's a website. It's LosCabosTunaJackpot.com. And if you can't remember that, Google Tuna Jackpot or Cabo Tuna Jackpot, and you'll go right to the site. It's been around for 22 years. A friend of mine set it up when he heard I was going to do the tournament, and it's one of the longest-standing websites in the world. So, as a result, it always pops up. So if you want to read anything about it, learn how to do it, all the rules, all the entries, all the features, everything's there. All of the optional stuff is explained. Now, if you want a boat, yeah, it's a little bit tough to get the best boats. A lot of people rebook immediately. They have timeshares. They rebook the boats. But here's the deal. It's $1,000 to enter a team. That's $250 for four people, and which is not that tough, you know. And then you can, because we have a Wahoo and a Dorado are separate this year, they were combined for several years, there's going to be like $50,000, $60,000 alone just in the Wahoo and the Dorado optionals to be entered. So you can enter for $2,000 for a team, just do the Wahoo and the Dorado, and then you're still in the tuna tournament, first, second, and third overall. And you're, every time you troll a lure or do anything, you have the potential to catch a 20, 30, 40 pound Dorado right there, bam. And so we're getting, everybody's entering that. You don't need a big boat to do that. You can get a Super Ponga to fish 2 days in this tournament and just go after the Wahoo and the Dorado money. And if you happen to catch a 250 pound tuna, or the guy has an idea of where he might catch one, we've seen it many times where guys catch these huge tuna on small boats. There's been two or three fish out of Piesse Sport Fishing on the No Borders. It's a 24-foot skiff. And they've had two fish over 228 pounds. One was almost 300, one was 228, trolling under a kite, a yummy flyer. So you do not need a massive, a huge sport fishing boat. And a professional crew. You just need a damn good Mexican captain on a boat that the guy knows what he's doing. And you have to have a willingness to pull on a fish hard because you only got so much time to get it in. So there you go. I mean, the tournament is for everybody and anybody. The rich guy, the poor guy, the average guy like you and me. The average price, if you were, and I have it on the site, it costs about $2,400 to $2,500 if rental car, hotel, enter two jackpots, the entry, food, bait, tackle, tips, everything, and flight. It's about $2,400 to $2,500 to do this tournament, and that is far less than you would pay on most trips going anywhere, Alaska, Cedros, anywhere. So it's not that expensive.
All right. So, yeah. Pat, can we check in with you after the event's over, and you can give us the results and some of the things that happened and relay with us some of the stories?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Love to. Yeah, I think I did that last year, and we had a great time going over the stuff. So it should be fun. The weather's been good. There's been some big fish. Very excited. A lot of the teams are signing up. We're hoping to break the $1 million mark on the payout. Bisbee's is way over, you know, way over that. They have like a $60,000 entry, and they're crazy money. But $1 million would be a very cool number to go over after 21 years. So pretty fun. November 6th through the 9th, and just go to the website if anybody's interested in learning about it. Get a Super Ponga and check it out. And then come back and go hardcore the next year. But a lot of people come down and check it out, and they fall in love, and they come back year after year after year.
All right, Pat McDonald, thanks a lot for talking fishing with us. Enjoyed the adventure to Alaska and Cedros Island, and looking forward to having a great time down in Cabo San Lucas for the Cabo Tuna Jackpot. Best of luck to you, and we'll be checking in with you after the event, okay?
I appreciate that very much. I want to add, you guys at Gamakatsu is one of your sponsors, right?
You got it.
Well, they're a sponsor of the tournament this year. They came in big time, very, very generous, and they're I can't even tell you what they've done. They've come in as a very active sponsor. We love their stuff. We love those guys. So if you hear, tell them what appreciation is. We have a lot of appreciation for those guys this year, and we hope they're going to all be down there.
I'll pass that on to them. I mean, you know, nothing but the best for the best, Pat. So, you know, best of luck on that event, okay?
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, John. Bye-bye, Wendy.
All right. Hey, Wendy and I, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance. Everything you're going to need to know if you're taking your vehicle down to Baja, California or mainland Mexico, we'll have the answers. So stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel, specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands, and if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. Our hours are Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. See you there.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone crushing drag. Quantum Fishing, we are performance tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal in La Mesa or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355. Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
The warm weather is here and our lakes and rivers are brimming. Just remember, if you love California and you love to boat, please wear your life jacket. And make sure everyone with you puts one on too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, Wendy and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Stan is down in Cabo San Lucas, probably enjoying listening to the show at Baja La Luna or La Golondrina with Sissy Plumlin's down there. So, Stan, I hope you're enjoying the visit with the family and you're having a great time. If you're at Baja La Luna, I know you are. Hey, you know, as I mentioned during the interview with Pat McDonald, I'm going down to San Quintin with Tom Gash this next week. And one of the things I did is I went to my insurance company up here and in the upper 48 and asked about auto insurance. And they go, no, you're going to have to get together with some type of an organization that specializes in insurance. So my friend Tom Gatch, he recommended Baja Bound Insurance. I got on their site. Man, Are these guys service-oriented when it comes to answering your questions, telling you everything you need to know about your vehicle, bringing it down to Baja, California, bringing it down to mainland Mexico? So I thought I'd invite one of the representatives from Baja Bound Insurance to come on with us just to talk about all of this. And we do have Mr. Jeff Hill with us. And Jeff, welcome to Ron Real Radio.
Oh, thank you guys very much for inviting me.
Oh, it's great having you aboard. You know, I don't go down in my vehicle to Baja a lot or the mainland Mexico area. So I was kind of a babe in the woods when it came to insuring my vehicle to go on down there. Can you start off with some of the Mexican insurance 101 that we might need or look into when insuring vehicles to go down to Mexico, Baja, or mainland Mexico?
Yeah, absolutely. So bottom line is, as soon as you cross the border, your vehicle insurance that you have in the U.S. may or may not cover you. And the biggest thing is most of them don't. And if they do, they're only going to cover your vehicle for damage or theft. But at the very minimum, what you should get is at least a liability policy from a Mexican company, and we're basically a broker for two companies based down in Mexico. So you can get that basic liability insurance that fulfills your requirements to enter the country in your vehicle and have proper insurance. The liability is kind of the bare minimum. Then you can tack on full coverage if you do want to cover your vehicle for damage and theft. So that's kind of the basic niche that we provide that we fill, the need that we fill.
Okay, and what are the Mexican requirements for us when it comes to insurance? Because I've heard stories that if you don't have insurance and you get in some difficulty down there, there's a good chance you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, so, you know, several years back, you know, the law did change. I believe it was 2012. And prior to that, you could either carry money on you, and this was if in the event you cause an accident, you're able to pay for damages on the spot, which, you know, for a minor fender bender, yeah, that's probably okay. But I know most people don't want to take a briefcase full of money down to Mexico or anywhere for that matter. But, so that's kind of the main idea is that this insurance basically fulfills your requirement to drive in the country legally. And if you have an issue, your Mexican liability policy will cover for any damage you do to a third party, and it covers bodily injury and property damage. And then if it's a more serious situation, you will have an adjuster come out to assess everything. And then if it's, you know, if there's bodily injury or severe damage, they will actually get legal representation for you. That's included in most Mexican insurance policies that you can buy.
Well, what happens if I do have a problem with my vehicle? Do I have to leave my vehicle down in Mexico, or if I have repairs that have to be made, can I bring it up back into the United States and have a local collision operation take care of it for me?
That's a great question. So both of the companies that we represent, which are HDI, we've been working with them since 2003, and then Chubb, they were formerly called Ace. We've been working with them since 2005. In most situations, as long as your vehicle is still drivable, you're allowed to bring it back up to the U.S. You do have to call and report everything first and have an adjuster come out and get all the paperwork in order. But in most scenarios, you're able to bring that vehicle back to the U.S. You usually have to get two estimates from a local body shop, and then you can get the vehicle repaired in the U.S., and they will pay the body shop to make those repairs. And not all of the companies that do Mexican insurance offer that, so it's good to just check and make sure that you have that option. Because obviously, we do have a lot of clients that are full-time down in Mexico, and they live in Puerto Vallarta. So for them, if they have an accident, you know, they want to be able to get it repaired at a Mexican shop in their town. But for the most general public that are just kind of, you know, head to Baja on the weekend or for a vacation, it's a great option to not have to leave your car down in Mexico and be able to bring it home and get it taken care of here at the shop of your preference.
Now, how about if we can't drive and something has to be done down there? I mean, Can it be towed back over? Can we rely on a shop down there to do it? And then what happens with our expenses while we're waiting to have something done?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of it really does depend on where you are when the vehicle is broken down. In one case, we did have a client who was down in Cabo San Lucas, and his truck, he got sideswiped by somebody. The truck wasn't drivable. He ended up having it shipped by truck from Cabo all the way back up to the U.S. and then got it fixed at the shop where actually at the dealership where he actually bought it, which was a great option. But in general, though, I mean, if you have an issue and your car does need to stay for a period of time, we have options of getting rental car coverage from either 5 days up to 20 days, depending on the policy that you select. So there are ways to get you home. The policies also include, if you're further south, they will cover airfare back home as well. So there's a variety of options to get you home or keep the trip going if you want to continue.
How about the status with our vehicles? Do we have to look at the insurance policy different, whether we own the car free and clear, whether or not we're financing it? And how about if we're leasing a car? Are these different distinctions that have to be made when we're taking on insurance?
You know, that's a great question, and it does really heavily depend on the lien holder or the leasing company that you're working with. Most often the case is they're fine with you taking it to Mexico, but a lot of times they want to get a copy of that policy in advance. So it's really best to check with the leasing company or the lien holder that you have on your vehicle to see what paperwork they require, because ultimately they are the owners of the vehicle, so it's in their best interest to make sure it's covered before it goes down to Mexico.
Okay, and how about different types of vehicles? Is there a difference between bringing a four-door sedan, an SUV, and then do you insure off-road vehicles that maybe people that are four-wheeling or biking in off-road areas? What's the insurance policies there?
So, yeah. Bunch of options. So the pricing does depend on some of the vehicles. Obviously, there's vehicles that they consider kind of more high-end, so the rating is different there. But for the most part, if you're just taking a truck or a sedan, most of the pricing is going to be very similar. In terms of off-road vehicles, we do work with a lot of people. So it's limited in what the insurance covers. So in Mexico, obviously, it's very different. There's a lot of times we'll see, you know, an off-road vehicle just going down the street that's not street legal here in the U.S., but people do it in Mexico. So we can offer liability coverage for off-road vehicles when they're being driven on the highway or being driven on what they consider non-conventional roads. But dirt roads, there's a ton of them. And Baja's got dirt roads out to amazing places. And if that road is on the map as a graded gravel road, your coverage still applies. It's just when you really get into the off-road type stuff where, I mean, the basic idea is if an adjuster can't come and get you in just a simple economy car, then you're probably off-roading in a place where there's no coverage. You know, the basic idea is they need to be able to reach you to provide assistance, and if you're really off-roading, obviously, that makes it more difficult for anybody to get there to help you.
Jeff, go through a basic policy with us, and there's a lot of nomenclature that I think a lot of us don't understand because we don't deal with it every day. What should we have when it comes to be insured for when we go south of the border, so that to make sure that there isn't some unexpected surprise that's waiting there to grab us in the event that we have an incident down there?
Right. So, yeah, the liability portion of the policy is basically what fulfills your requirement in the eyes of the authorities. So if you just get a basic liability policy, that covers you for any damage you do to a third party. So if you hit somebody in their vehicle and do damage to their vehicle, the policy will cover for that. If you do a full coverage policy, which means you're just putting in a market value for your vehicle, then that's going to cover you for damage and theft. Or total loss as a result of an accident. And so those are kind of the main concepts. That's full coverage versus just liability coverage. And then some of the higher end policies that we offer do cover partial theft and vandalism. So if people actually go to your vehicle and steal parts off of it, there's coverage available for that. There is the option to, all the policies include medical expenses coverage for you or anybody that's in your vehicle. But there are ranges. The very bare minimum starts at $2,000 per person up to $10,000 per accident, and it goes up from there. More than anything, I feel it's a lot of people, we get people that call, they want basic liability, they want $50,000 in liability coverage, that's it, they're not worried about their vehicle. And then we get people that say, oh, I want $1 million in coverage, in liability coverage. So it's just, it really depends on what the end user wants or feels comfortable with. But for the most part, if you're getting liability coverage down there, most of the companies recommend the $300,000 limit, which is pretty standard. And the reason for that is about 7 or 8 years ago, the law did change. In a worst-case scenario where you cause an accident where there's a fatality, the potential for exposure went up by about 7 times. So previously, people were buying policies. And by the way, this does change, vary from state to state in Mexico. So we do have a page on our website about the different limits of coverage that are recommended. But generally, $300,000 is kind of the go-to amount in liability, just to make sure that you're covered, even in the worst-case scenario where you cause an accident and there's a fatality.
Wendy, you have a question now.
Pardon?
So,
Wendy. Hi, Wendy.
Oh, hi there. So for people that are traveling there, and if they did get into an accident, or, you know, they're wondering, you know, if their vehicle did get into an accident, how prevalent is theft, and should they worry about that part? And also, if you break down and you need to be driven back somewhere or towed, is that also covered?
Yeah. So, I mean, the theft thing does happen. I feel like, I mean, I can't compare how it would vary from Baja California versus California itself in terms of the frequency of vehicles getting stolen. It does happen. I would say we get a couple a year, but I can't speak to what the rest of the other brokers that do this, what their experience is like. But absolutely, yeah, all of the policies that we offer do cover roadside assistance and towing. And the main policies that we offer do up to $1,000 in towing coverage, so which does go a long way. I think just some of the situations that you encounter is a lot of times, you know, if you're down in Central Baja, there's areas where there's no cell phone service. So it's a little more complicated when you're on, a longer trip and going to more remote areas. Because obviously they also have to source a tow vehicle. And there's some stretches there where, you know, there's not a town for a long time.
Right.
So, but it's all part of the adventure. But yes, in general, all the policies do cover roadside assistance, including towing service.
Yeah, because most of the people I know, they'll travel all the way to Bay of LA, you know, and that's a long ways. And you know, towing, I mean, who knows how far you're going to have to tow. So that's why I was wondering.
Yeah, because depending on where you are, I mean, if you're in Catavina on your way to Bay of LA or coming out of Bay of LA towards Catavina, I mean, there's a lot of open road there. But, you know, in general, I feel like people, and we see this all the time, you know, if someone has an issue and they're broken down on the side of the road, usually people always stop. You know, people are great about that. They're always so kind to help others when they're having problems on the side of the road. And usually they'll go to the next town and relay the message that someone needs a tow. So it's an adventure always. But yeah, the services do exist to help get you home as fast as possible or back to the nearest town that can fix your vehicle.
Hey, we're speaking with Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance. And Jeff, we've got to take a break right now. Can I get you to stay over for a little bit longer and we can shoot a few more questions at you? And maybe you might have a story or two that you want to relate to us on how wise it is to go down there with insurance as opposed to not being insured?
Sure. I will be here.
Okay. Hey, Wendy and I are going to take a break right now, but you're listening to Ron Real Radio on AM 540. We'll be right back.
I got got a garage full of fishing tackle, and every time I get out on the water, I realize I forgot something important. But I never forget my life jacket. I make sure my buddies wear theirs, too. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
Hey, we want to tell you a little bit about the Catch Fishing hook, line, and lure system, and we have Kavika with us from Catch. Kavika, tell us about the Catch system.
Hey, guys. So Catch Fishing Products, Catch lure, hook, and line holder. Straps on to your rods, whether it's freshwater, saltwater. It's adjustable, UV saltwater resistant, products made in the USA. Holds on to your lures, holds on to your hooks, and a great feature about it is it also holds on to fishing line, and it's great used as a finger trigger as well. Save your investment in your rods and reels.
And we want to remind everyone that the Catch system is going to be available at a dealer near you.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. The San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Hey everybody, this is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419. Or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Hey, Wendy and I, we want to welcome you back to our Rod and Reel Radio. We're speaking with Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance, and they're brokers for insurance companies that insure us, whether we're going down the coast of Baja or whether we're going down the mainland. You need insurance. These are the people that come to it. And Jeff, I wanted to ask you, could you take us through a scenario that if we run into an incident where we have to make a claim, we have maybe a Mexican citizen involved, we're involved, there's damage on both cars or vehicles. How do we go about, what information do we bring with us, and how do we go about making a claim? Do we have to make it immediately? Do we have to wait till we go back up there? What information do we pass on to them? All this type of stuff. What's a normal scenario in this situation?
Yeah, in general, the documentation you need to have, and this is just for getting into Mexico in general, is a valid driver's license and your registration. And then obviously your insurance documents, which when you buy it from our website, it automatically emails it to you so you can print it out, have it right there. Each scenario is going to be different. But in general, if there's an accident, you need to report it as soon as possible from Mexico, because the idea is you need to have an adjuster come to the scene, make a full report. The adjusters, and it's quite likely that whoever you were involved in an accident with probably doesn't have the same insurance company. So at that point, the adjusters will take over, and then potentially lawyers if it's a more serious situation. And in my experience, I was with a buddy when he was just north of Ensenada, and a local ran across the road right in front of him, and he hit him, and it was, you know, it scared him like nothing
wow.
else. And we were on radio, and he said, "Hey, you guys, someone just ran right out in front of me. I hit him. Can you come back?" Because we were about a mile ahead of him. So we drove up to one of those call boxes, called it in. By the time we got there, an ambulance had already been there, picked him up. And we just had to go back to Ensenada with the Federales, who were actually really, really wonderful to work with. The main guy that we talked to spoke English. But we had to go through the whole process of, you know, the adjuster came out, met with the Federales. They went through all the paperwork. They got legal support out there. And mind you, this happened at about, I think it was about 7:30 on a Sunday. So we were thinking, oh, we're going to be here, you know, I don't know how long it's going to take. But it was amazing. We actually went to the Ministerio Público. We sat there and waited for our buddy to go through the whole process, and he came out a couple hours later and said, "I'm free to go," because it was shown where everything happened is that, you know, the guy ran right out in the middle of the road on the toll road, right in front of my buddy, and that's where the skid marks are. And so he was free to go, and yeah, the insurance covered the damage to his vehicle. That's just one scenario. Like, it, for the most part, the most important thing you can do is always report it before you leave Mexico. If it's very minor, they might not even have an adjuster come out, but obviously if it's more serious, and especially in a situation if there's bodily injury to you or anybody in your vehicle and you have to go to the hospital, obviously you're not going to be able to make a phone call right there to report it. But the idea is to get the incident reported as quickly as possible with the insurance company. And on the policies, there are toll-free numbers and direct numbers as well that you can reach the companies. And both HDI and Chubb have claim centers that are open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to be able to report that.
All right. Now, yeah, there, you know, for U.S. citizens going down into Mexico, whether we're driving or flying, we have to take out certain visas and FMM if we're you know, going for over 7 days or more than 60 miles south of the border, and then there are other visas to be had. If by any chance we do not have that visa and we are insured and we get in an incident, does that invalidate our insurance at all?
Okay, so this is a question that comes up a lot, especially on a lot of the online Baja forums. The bottom line is, I believe in the past there have been some companies that have denied claims because of this. I don't know who they are, but the companies that we represent, HDI and Chubb, we have it in writing from both of them that if for some reason you don't have an FMM and you're in an accident, that will not invalidate the policy. You are still covered even if you don't have an FMM. That said, we always tell people, you know, it's, you know, the enforcement of the FMM is not that strong. Most of the time, they're never going to ask you for it. I have heard of some checkpoints popping up more recently. So we always tell people, do the right thing, get it. You know, you can get the 180-day FMM, and it's like $28. It's worth it just for the peace of mind. But yeah, in our experience, neither of our companies would ever not honor a policy because you don't have an FMM. So, but it's always good to have it.
You know, we've been talking about, you know, vehicles like SUVs and passenger cars, but do you also insure people that are towing boats and the tow vehicles along with that the same way you do cars?
Absolutely, yeah. So if you're towing a boat down to Mexico, we can insure the trailer and the boat itself. And then once the boat leaves the trailer and goes into the water, we can provide liability coverage on it. It is a separate policy that you'd have to buy, but that liability policy is required to enter any of the marinas in Mexico. But we don't do full coverage on the water, which I think for the most part is because there's so many companies that have worldwide coverage for boats when they're on the water. We do the liability on the water, but not the full coverage.
Right. Tell us a little bit about Baja Bound Insurance now. I came to you via a recommendation from my good friend Tom Gatch, who
Tom,
I'm going to
yep.
be visiting down there in Mexico. But tell us about Baja Bound a little bit, would you please?
Yeah. So we're actually, I'm really happy to announce that this is our 25th year in business. So we're celebrating our 25th anniversary in November. So that's, it's pretty exciting. And I've been there for 17 of those years. We started off as a little drive-through right by the border here in San Diego, down in San Ysidro. And the gentleman that started it, Doc Morton, he was a doctor, and he had his business practice, his medical practice right there by the border. Back in the late 80s, he started taking us on little, you know, weekend trips to go surfing in Mexico. And just going back and forth, we'd always stop and go to a drive-thru. And he goes, you know what, I could do this. Just, you know, he did it just because he could. I mean, he was a medical doctor, didn't do it for any other reason, but he just had a great location for it. And so it chugged away for a couple years, and I don't think it made that much money. But right around that time, he was about to retire. And Hank, who is the main owner at Baja Down now, Hank is Doc's son. So Hank was trying to, he just graduated college. He was trying to find something to do. And it was like late 90s. The whole dot-com boom was happening. And he just decided to try and launch the first website for Mexican insurance. And he basically taught himself how to build a website, build a database. And he launched it in 1999. And off we went. So I came on board in 2003. My sister came on board shortly thereafter. But yeah, I mean, across the board, all of us have pretty much been going to Mexico since we were kids. And so it's a special place for us and a place that we still frequent. My daughter just is 3.5, and she actually did her first trip down to Mexico when she was 2 months old. She went to one of the Nora races and we're running a pit down there. And, so she's grown up on the beaches down there and just enjoying, you know, seeing a different culture and traveling a lot and just enjoying life on the road down there and all of the great experiences that it has to offer. So, but yeah, Baja Down is a company. We've, you know, like I said, we've all grown up traveling down there. I don't think we ever expected to be in this business. It just was kind of perfect timing, and we all jumped in and took a chance on it. And here we are all these years later, and you know, business is great, and we're loving to travel down there and share that experience with our family.
Well, you know, for the most part, I'm technology disadvantaged, but when I got on the website, I found it easy to navigate on there. Any questions I had, there were answers to, going through the policy and everything else like that. But tell us about the site, because you offer more information on the site than just about insurance.
Yeah. So obviously the insurance is what, you know, how the business makes money, but we've always worked really hard to have a lot of information for people, because if you're crossing the border for the first time, it can be daunting, especially if you're going through Tijuana. You know, the whole city moves fast. And so we've always tried to provide driving directions. Yes, a newbie, you know, which lane they're going to go back to San Diego. And they're like, well, there's the fast pass lane, the ready lane, the sentry. People get so confused. So we, more than anything, we just try to provide a lot of good information to help people understand or at least anticipate what they're doing or where they're going in Mexico. And there's, you know, we get tons of questions of people. They're not sure what they can cross south into Mexico or not sure what they can cross north. And so we have a whole before you go section that touches on everything from driving directions to, you know, do's and don'ts and stuff you can bring, you know, if you're bringing a pet, what you need to do to bring your pet back and forth across the border. So there's a, you know, just trying to answer people's questions or provide them information that helps their whole experience be a lot smoother.
Well, you know, one of the things I think U.S. citizens visiting Mexico isn't necessarily the getting across and getting down there. It's the coming on back, and they don't understand about the different passes and lanes and stuff like that. Can you give us any light on that situation, even though that might not be your expertise?
Man, in fact, one of the projects I've really wanted to do is do one video that just explains all the different lanes you can use at the border, because it is confusing. So basically, there's the regular lane that anybody can use, and you know, you're supposed to technically have your passport to go back and forth, although that still is not 100% enforced. And actually, by law, they cannot deny people to get, you know, getting back into the U.S. if they don't have proper documentation. That said, we always tell people, get your passport, do it the right way. And then there's the Ready Lane, which if you have a passport card or another RFID document like the Sentry card, you can use the Ready Lane. And then there's the Sentry Lane, which you actually have to go through a pretty extensive background check, whole interview process, and it costs $125, but it does get you access to the Sentry Lane for 5 years. It's totally worth it, and it's a huge time saver. I've had Sentry for over a decade. I don't even think about the border when I'm coming back because normally it's about 10 or 15 minutes. And then in Tijuana only, there's what they call the Fast Pass Lane, which is also known as the Medical Services Lane. And so for many years, a lot of people have gone south to do either dental or medical work in Tijuana, and these doctors were able to provide a one-use pass to go in this special lane, and the idea was that it would cut the wait in half or more. And they opened that up to some hotels and some restaurants, and then I feel like the program got abused, and now they've kind of reined it back in to just hotels and doctors and dentists. But that's basically the four different options. Sentry's great.
If the U.S. citizen has their passport, you said, can they go through that Ready Lane too, or is that only for the passport cards?
So my understanding is that it's only for the RFID-enabled cards, which I think, actually, which is going to be very nice, is next year, all of the California driver's licenses are going to be, I think what they call it, I think they're calling it a real ID. And that's going to I think you're going to be able to use that in the Ready Lane as well. But I think they still want you to have your passport. So
okay.
I'm not completely sure.
So if you just have your passport, you've got to go through the regular lanes.
What's that?
If you just have a passport, you're restricted to the regular lanes. You can't use the Ready Lane or anything else like that.
Correct. Although, again, I have heard of people going through the Ready Lane with just their passport book, and I think a lot of it depends on who you get at the border and if they're having a good day or not.
All right. Hey, Jeff Hill from Baja Bound Insurance. Tell us the best way to get a hold of you, and because if you don't want to do everything online, you can also speak to an agent there. Again, give us the website and everything we need to know to get a hold of you.
Yeah, so the website is BajaBound.com. Our office is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. You can reach us toll-free at 888-552-2252 or on our local line at 619-702-4292, or you can just email us at service@BajaBound.com.
All right. Jeff Hill, thanks a lot for being with us. Thanks a lot for insuring me going on down there. I hope I don't have a reason to give you a call back, but I hope I do have a reason to use your services again. We appreciate you being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right. Hey, coming up next, Rick Marin from H&M Landing. He's going to give us the latest on what's happening offshore here. So stay tuned. Wendy and I will be back after these messages.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the bass boat program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASSBOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell BASSBOAT. 1-800-BASSBOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASSBOAT, the choice of the pros for Bassboat Insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASSBOAT.com.
Attention Rod and Reel Radio listeners, be sure to check out the Code Group mobile app. You can listen to the Rod and Reel Radio Show live, along with show archives, without internet access. The Code Group app has all kinds of cool features for fishermen, including daily Southern California saltwater reports, weather reports, episodes of Inside Sport Fishing, marine traffic, and much more. Get the free Code Group mobile app by texting the word REEL, R-E-E-L, to 90407, or enter the words Code Group in the App Store on your smartphone.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a bit set back with just what company to go with? Rod and Reel Radio urges you to try American and family-owned Land's End Charters. Land's End Charters offer their clients affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with their brand-name fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality you would expect from a 50-year-old family-run business. Go to Land's End Charters.com to see all the current vessels and amenities available and call Cabo Greg or Jenny directly at 800-281-5778 when you're ready to get fishing.
He's not just my fishing buddy. After 30 years, he's a brother, and I'd sure hate to lose him. His bass boat's got nothing to do with it. So I make sure both of us wear a life jacket. Save the ones you love, even if they don't own a fancy boat. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Hey, Whitney and I welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, we can't go off the air here without talking about what is happening offshore with, again, the great bite that we're seeing here in 2019. And what better guy to tell us about what's happening out there than Mr. Rick Marin? He's the fishing tackle manager over at H&M Landing. He also has his ears to the tom-toms, and he can tell us what has been happening during this weekend. He might even polish off that crystal ball of his and let us know what might be in our future when it comes to fishing opportunities off San Diego. So let's welcome him to the show. Rick, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm not as good as the fishing is right now, but I'm doing good. Boy, it's just amazing right now.
Well, tell us a little bit about it, because I've been kind of not in the loop or everything like that, and I've heard this is hitting, then all of a sudden this isn't hitting, and this is coming in, and then all of a sudden Dorado are making an appearance. I mean, what's happening out there?
I tell you, open tuna fishing is probably, hi Wendy, probably as good as it ever has been. You know, boats are calling in, going out there, getting there about 8 in the morning, calling in with limits by 10. It's just amazing fishing, and they're much better fish than they have been. They were some of that smaller fish, but now the fish are anywhere between 15 and 30 pounds, and they're not eating light line. They're eating the heavy line. 30, 40-pound test is no problem. You know, these guys are just whacking them. Been mostly a live bait bite, but there's been quite a variety of fish, too. You know, the bluefin are still out there. The island's been kind of closed off for the last few days, but right before it closed, I know Scotty and Bob down the top 1080 were out there, and they picked up two nice bluefin of 100 to 120 pounds where they were pushed outside. They went out and caught 125 yellowtail between 17 and 20 pounds when they went out to the Outer Banks. It's just been really good fishing for just about, and if you want, even the lobster are crawling a little bit. You know, guys are going out at night on the lobster boats. Yesterday, for instance, Pat brought in 73 lobsters. 62 of them were a little short. They had to be released, but they still got 11 lobster and 5 crab and The Elisa got 11 lobster and 38 crab. So just about anything you want. It's like summer is extended.
Hey, Rick, I've been looking at that schedule thinking, oh, I'm going to jump on a boat and go do some hooping. And you guys are booked. Oh, my gosh. You guys are doing awesome. How's the lobster hooping been doing?
It's been doing pretty well. Some days crawling better than others, but the guys are catching a lot of bugs are crawling, and they're having a great time. People are having a ball, and you're right, both are booked out well into an advance, at least another couple of weeks before you can find the opening, and that better be during the middle of the week. But
The
fishing is just incredible.
You know, Rick, we always talk about what type of gear to bring us. If you want to go out on a lobster hooping trip, tell us about the duration and what do we have to bring in order to be successful out there.
Well, you know, you don't have to really bring anything. I recommend bringing a pair of gloves because you're going to be pulling on a rope, but everything else is provided by the guys on the boat. They got the bait, they got the hoops, everything you need. Nice thing about hooping on one of these boats, you can still get a burger in the middle of the night when it gets cold. They leave about 6:30, and they come back around 11:30. It's been a lot of fun.
You know, I got to tell you, I went out there with Wendy and Lori Heath last year, and I got to tell you, these ladies showed me up. They are so ferocious out there. They pull those hoops like nobody's business. They made me look like a kindergarten kid out there. It's just, but I can't believe the fun and the laughs that everyone has out there when they're pulling up their own hoops in anticipation of what's coming on up. It's just a good time to have by everyone, and it's relatively inexpensive in comparison to other things you might want to do on a weekday or a weekend night.
And you know, your return on investment is awesome if you guys
can. Yeah. The
return on investment is awesome if you catch lobster. And not only that, you just walk on and walk off, and you don't have to clean the boat, which I love. I can drive home and go to bed.
Exactly. Like I said, a pair of gloves is a handy thing to have, but that's all you need.
Now, Rick, with the bite that's out there right now, are the full-day boats, are they getting on them, or is it better to book on a day and a half or an extended trip from there to really get a good opportunity? What's the mix right now with when it comes to duration of trips?
Well, we call our full-day boats what used to be called the three-quarter-day boat. Okay, then there's the overnight boats and the day and a half, of course. The full-day boats, give you an idea, we had Fisherman 3 got 66 yellowfin today. The Jig Strike got 42. And the Grande, which is our normal three-quarter-day boat, they got 84 yellowfin, all between the hours of 5:30 and 5:30. So you don't have to go far, but it's like anything else. The fish are a little bit scattered, and they're a little bit weird sometimes, so you got to find the ones that want to bite, and that can be a hit-or-miss thing. But overall, all the boats are getting good counts, having good fishing, and the biggest thing they can do for the listeners is, remember, guys, don't put your thumb on the spool. You have a lot of fish lost because guys are getting too excited and putting their thumb on the spool and the fish starts to run. That's what your reel's for.
Wow.
Just let the fish go and you get them back.
Rick, tell us about also this promotion in October that you're running for kids. That, you know, with the fishing so good, you wouldn't expect to see that. But, man, you want everyone to take advantage of this.
Well, you know, you want the kids to get excited. It's a half-day promotion where kids fish free in October with one paid adult gets one free child under 16. And it's really been more popular this year so far than it has in the years past. I think the word's getting out. But it's important to have the kids out fishing, and they have such a ball doing it. So if you have some kids, take them out fishing. All you have to do is pay for the adult fare and the rent rod, and you're all set.
Does the skipper provide slips that the kids can bring back to schools, basically saying that they were there because of a medical situation and excuses them for a half day?
Yeah, tell the teacher that their arm was in a cast.
Or they were tied up, whatever.
We'll have to see if we can get Epstein mothers to write some notes.
For that question.
He set us up pretty good on that, Wendy. On the half-day opportunities, what's happening out there? Because, you know, it just doesn't seem like the yellowtail have showed up in our local kelps. And so, you know, the skippers are having to become a little more inventive, but they're still catching good fish out there.
Yeah, they are having good fishing. You know, it's more of the bottom type fishing, but they've been having good counts of rockfish and some bass. It's just, for some reason, this season, the conditions inshore have just not been stellar by any means. It's the water's been green, it's been cold, the current hasn't run right, and all those things are really important when you're trying to catch calico bass and try to get yellows in tight to the beach. So it's been tough that way, but there's been very good rock fishing. You know, a lot of reds, some lings, sheephead. Everybody's having fun, and honestly, those fish are better for the kids because they can all catch fish every trip instead of just watching everybody else do it.
Now tell us, are there still boats that are going out there and targeting bluefin tuna? I mean, what's happening there?
You know, the island is where most of those fish have been, and it's been closed off by the Navy for a couple of days, a couple, 3 days. But before that, they were catching fish up to 300 pounds. You know, a lot of that 100 to 150-pound fish. And as odd as this may seem, day before yesterday, the half day boat was out at about 4 miles off the point and found a school of bluefin just tearing up a school of anchovy, about 150-pound bluefin right there. No one's seen them since, but they did hook one, but he got away.
Wow. And I am seeing, or is it, you know, maybe private boaters that I'm seeing on Facebook, but there seem to be some Dorado showing up. What do you hear about those?
You know, we haven't run into any of those yet. A couple weeks ago, they got a couple cups that were pretty good, and since then, they really haven't got any. So some of the private boaters may be fishing different areas and running into them. So water temperature's fine. Water's cleaning up really nice, so I don't see why not.
And there seem to be a lot of skipjack mixed in with the mix. Are they in there with the yellowfin, or are they just coming on to pockets of skipjack, and then the boats will move, and all of a sudden they're in the yellowfin, or what?
Usually it's with the yellowfin.
Okay.
All the boats
and,
are in the mix.
Is there anything else mixed in there? And you said the Outer Banks, you said there was some nice yellowtail caught out there. Were those off of kelps, or were those in schools of yellowfin, or
no,
what?
Those were on the Tanner.
Ah, okay. And again, if we don't have great equipment, tell us about the opportunity to rent equipment at H&M Landing.
Well, we rent Abbott reels, single-speed, two-speed reels, so there won't be a situation where you can't go fishing until you don't have the gear. We have everything you need. It's all kept in good shape, fresh line, keep the reels working right, just so that you have a good time.
All right. And right now, going out on a full-day boat or a day-and-a-half boat, how should someone gear up?
Well, right now, I would bring a 30- and a 40-pound outfit. You know, there occasionally are some bluefin that are underneath the yellowfin. They catch one or two, you know, from time to time. But talk to you guys on the boat and guys at the landing and find out what's going on the trip you're going on. Because if you're going on a two-day or two-and-a-half-day and the island's open, chances are they're going to go spend some time and try and get some of that big bluefin going. And then you want to rent that 80- to 100-pound gear because you don't want to hook a fish of a lifetime and just have it spool you and swim away.
All right. How do we get a hold of H&M Landing to see what the schedules are for the boats, to see the availability, pricing, all that kind of stuff? How's the best way to go about doing this?
The absolute easiest way is to go to hmlanding.com. It has all our schedules on it. It tells you all kinds of things about the landing, prices, rental availability, charters, anything you might need to know. And if you have a question that's more specific than that, give us a call at 619-222-1144, and we'll be happy to help you.
Not only that, if you're planning a trip, not maybe this week, but you still have one maybe 3-4 weeks out in advance, go out and visit with Rick and Danny there at H&M Landing Tackle Shop and see what you're going to be needing. And instead of going out and buying everything at one time where you got this big, gigantic credit card bill coming in, you know, buy it little by little and, you know, depend on the advice of the guys. They'll lead you in the right way to to get you on a trip that will be memorable for you. And Rick, we got to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, John. But don't forget, they can come into either one of our shops and buy lots of gear. We won't mind that either.
All right. Got it. All right. Thank you, Rick Byron from H&M Lighting. And Wendy, thanks a lot. Kind of fun, informative show tonight.
It sure was. And I'll talk to you next week.
All right. And we will be on live next week. Scheduled guest Mike Iaconelli is going to be live with us, and we should have a couple of other surprises for you. So on behalf of Otto and the AM 540 studio, Israel, that's helping him out, Ben Harvey, our local producer here in San Diego, we always want to thank Big Tuna Bill, Eddie McCune, and Mr. Paul Leader